All right, open your Bibles back to Acts chapter 3 with me. Acts chapter 3, I'm going to go ahead and get right into the message. Acts chapter 3, read a couple of verses with me. Acts 3:19, Peter, including his message, he says, "Repent ye, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Verse 26, he said, "Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities." Repent, he said, that your sins may be blotted out. He says, God has sent Christ to bless you in turning you away from your iniquity. Now, there are many reasons why people go to church. I'm not new at this, and I've heard a lot of reasons. I hear people talk. People come because they have troubles. And I'm not making light of or diminishing the troubles that we have. We all go through them, but people begin coming to church or going to church, so to speak, when they have troubles. Marital troubles will cause people to begin to go to church, so to speak. Marital trouble, personal troubles. People, their lives become a mess, and so they're looking for something. Financial troubles, many troubles in the family, in the home. They figure, well, if we can get our home together and under the whatever. Trauma. People go through traumas, sicknesses, terrible sicknesses, maybe life-threatening sicknesses, and people begin to go to church. They start thinking about eternity. It doesn't usually last too long. Whenever the sickness is over, they pretty much forget that. But they begin to come. Death. Someone dies suddenly. Unexpectedly. Friend. Family. Something. Somebody dies, so people go to church. Social reasons. People go to church for social reasons. And this is what most so-called churches are using today. We're a family church. You want to have a good family, don't you? Want your family to prosper. We have a lot of things for your family. And again, I'm not making light of family. I love family. We have a singles ministry. If you're single, you're looking for a mate. So many reasons people go. I could go on and on with that. Someone once called the church, or what people call the church, a poor man's country club. Poor man's country club. You know, a place to go and socialize and pay your dues. You don't have to pay much, but pay your dues and look for a club to join. Everything I just said is so. And most everyone in here came, perhaps, at first, for one of those reasons. Am I right? I did. You've heard my story. I get up here and talk all the time. And you've heard my story many times. I was after that girl right there. That's why I came. That's absolutely the reason I came. I got my eye on a pretty little girl. And so I went to church with her. All wrong reasons. I recognize that God brings His people to hear the truth. by different means, but they're all the wrong reasons. Those are all the wrong reasons to come here. You know? All the wrong reasons. Why should we go to church? What is this all about? That's a thing called worship. Worship. What's that? You hear that a lot today. And they go and they do all sorts of things in the name of worship. What is worship? Well, basically, worship is acknowledging God Almighty. It's acknowledging God. Coming to give thanks to God. Everything. Coming to glorify God. Or that is, give Him all the honor and glory and credit for everything. Shouldn't we? He set aside from the beginning a day for people to come worship. Ought not people to worship God who gives them everything? Yeah, sure should. Give thanks. Yeah, sure should. Worship, giving thanks. But let me tell you what this is all about. What we're doing here, what I'm standing up here for, and what you need, the real issue here, what you need to know about, it's a life and death matter. All right? That's what this is about. Here's the issue. And it's a word that's scoffed at and laughed at and abused and maligned today. It's the word called sin. Sin. And like I said, you hear all kinds of things about it. They named a city after it. Las Vegas. Sin City. Men, the world is laughing at this. This is the most old-fashioned, laughable thing, and people just love to talk about it and laugh at it. Sin. But it's not a laughing matter. That's why we got all the troubles we got. That's what this whole mess is all about. That's why this whole thing is in a mess. That's why God said He's going to destroy this mess. It's a thing called sin. And it's in us. That's why we have marital troubles. That's why we have personal problems. It's not somebody else. It's us. The issue is sin. It's responsible for all the trouble in the world, all the trouble in ourselves, all the trouble in our home, everything. And it's the reason this book was written. That's why this book was written, to tell us about it, what it is, where it came from, what that means to us, what it's done to us, what can be done about it. That's what this book's all about. And it gives story after story after story upon thousands of years of the consequences of it. And the underlying story of it all is about the only one who can do anything about it. Sin. It's not a laughing matter. It's not something to be joked about. And every prophet, we just read that, every prophet in the Old Testament, his message was, every prophet, without exception, got up and he said this, and the people laugh at this, repent. Every prophet, repent. What does that mean? Basically, repent means be sorry for your sin. Repent means turn from it. Repentance is toward God. You turn from yourself and everything you are to God for help from it. From this thing of sin. That's what repent means. And every prophet from the beginning, that was their message. John was the last of the Old Testament prophets. What did he preach? First thing, repent. Kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus Christ, who is that prophet that we read about here. The prophet to end all prophecies. The prophet of whom all prophecies is written. Jesus Christ, his message was, repent. Not God loves you. But repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was his message. It's the first words out of his mouth. Peter preaching here, he said your sins need to be blotted out. And he says God's blessed you. Talking to some people, God blessed you and to turn you away from them. As if he doesn't, you're going to die in them. You're going to die because of them. Now let me see if I can't tell you something what sin is. Or rather, I'm going to show you what God says it is. One time years ago in the Roanoke Times, they did a survey. The question was, what do you think is sin? Do you remember that? Oh, I remember it. I wish it had never been written, but all people wrote in by the hundreds and thousands, giving their opinion. Well, I think sin is this. I think sin is that. Let me tell you what God says sin is, okay? Let's look and see what this word says it is. First of all, I want you to show you from 1 John, the first epistle of John, back there in the back toward the end, right just before Revelation, few books, few chapters. 1 John chapter 1. Like I said, sin is why we're in trouble. And why trouble's in trouble. Sin is the trouble. And it's in us. And it's in this world. This world is full of it. It's the reason this world is a mess. I mean, it's an absolute cesspool. And I'm in it. And it's in me. And it's the reason we'll never have complete happiness or joy or peace on this planet. Never. Because of this thing called sin. It's going to plague us till the day we die. And hopefully, never again. If. 1 John 1. Now, I said, or let's look at it. Verse 8. If we say we have no sin, if you're not looking at it with me, then listen to me, all right? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. The truth, God's word is the truth. It's not in us. If we say we have no sin. Now, I told you a while ago, we have personal problems. We have marital problems. We have family problems. Why? Well, preacher, you just don't know that woman I'm married to. Oh, yes, I do. I will have soon be married about 25 years. She's been married that long, too. Problem's not with her. Problem's not somebody else. That's what Adam said, did he not? In the garden. First thing, when sin entered in, Adam said, what's that woman? If you hadn't made that woman, if I wasn't married to this woman, everything would be all right. No, Adam. You sin. Right? Let me just add this little note. You know, the grass is never greener on the other side. I have horses. Had several horses over the years. got my property fenced in. And I fertilize and do everything I can that those horses might have good green grass. But it's never satisfies them. And Brother Henry, they have literally torn my fence all to pieces. Why? That grass, if I can just get that grass right there. I mean, it's the same grass, Kelly. I sowed the exact same grass everywhere, outside the fence, inside the fence. But, oh, that looks good. It's got to be better than what I got here. And they'll tear that fence down, and lots of times they've got themselves in it and got themselves in a mess trying to get to that greener grass. It's not greener, I try to tell them. It's not. Molly, honey, same grass. I'll even take her out there and say, look, see? They're getting a mess trying to get to that. I just have that. So that's enough said about marital. It starts right here. If any say we have no sin, problems in the world. We have problems in the world because everybody's full of it. Everybody's like us. That's a frightening thought, isn't it? For those of you who know yourself, that's a frightening thought. Everyone's full of sin. Whole creation, the scripture says, groaneth because of it. Now, if somebody says, listen to me, somebody in here right now, and you're the only ones listening to this, if someone says, well, I've got some faults. Yeah, I'm not perfect. Yeah, I've got some faults, but I'm not, man. Then anything I have to say from here on is not for you. You're free to go. If this, whoever just got some faults, go on. I have nothing more to say to you. You don't need this. You don't need God. You don't need Christ. You don't need this religion. You don't need this gospel. This gospel's for sinners. This gospel's for people that have an incurable disease. This gospel's for people who are dying of a cancer called sin, and they know it. This gospel is for people who take all the blame, not blame it on somebody else. That's who this gospel's for. This gospel's for people who realize, yeah, I went out to the grass on the other side and it wasn't greener. That's who this gospel's for. Sinners. Read on. 1 John 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Us, he's talking about us, Stan. Us, me, not you. Let's both stand and straighten up. Hey, everything would be much, this world would be a better. Me, it's me. It's me. God, do something about me. Do something with me. That's what this is all about. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar. His word's not in us. And I've got to be careful or I'll stay right here. This is not my text. Go over to John 16. John chapter 16. John chapter 16. So, the same John who wrote this gospel, John, said over there in that letter, I said, if you say you have no sin, you're deceived. You're deceived. If you think you just have faults, you're deceived. If I think I'm just got some problems I need worked out, I'm deceived. My problem is a deep-rooted problem called sin, and it's me. That's my problem. The problem with God. That's why I'm in trouble with God. That's why I'm in trouble with myself. That's why I'm in trouble in this world. It's this thing called sin. And I've got it. And as I said, for those who say that they're, looking for this or that and the other, well, and we talk much of this. Every time you hear me stand up, you'll hear me say something about sin, old-fashioned as it sounds. And many come and hear it, and they quickly get tired of it and go in search of a singles ministry. I say, fine, but that's not going to make you happy, because the real trouble is what I'm talking about. So if you find the finest person you could ever marry, you're still going to have trouble. That's what Paul said in Romans 7. Read it for yourself. Romans, 1 Corinthians 7. He said, marry a believer, but you're still going to have trouble. Why? Because you both got this thing in you. And that's the real trouble. Something needs to be done about that. All your troubles won't be over, no. But your trouble with God will. And someday all troubles will be over. But not here. All right, there's much talk about the Holy Spirit today, isn't there? Much talk about the Holy Spirit. It's real popular. Here's what the Lord Jesus Christ says about the Holy Spirit. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ says the Holy Spirit does. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ says that when people get together in a worship service and preaching and so forth, all this goes on. This is what the Holy Spirit does right here. Doesn't make people fall on the floor and start babbling like idiots. Doesn't make people jump up and down and swing from chandeliers and all of that stuff. No, sir. This is what the Holy Spirit does. Whenever He begins to really operate on a human being, this is what He does. All right? You want to read it with me? For, John 16, verse 8. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. He says, I'll send Him to you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin. When the Holy Spirit comes, when I send the Holy Spirit, and He blows where He listed, John 3 said. He goes wherever Christ sends Him. He operates on whoever Christ says operate on. Not where people pretend that He's there, and so forth. But whoever Christ sends the Holy Spirit to on a human being in them, to work upon them, this is the first thing that He does. Reproves of sin. The word reprove is convince, convict. Reprove. You've been reproved, haven't you? If you had a true parent, father or mother, when you were young, and you were reproved. I mean, you understood what they did. You understood. It's not that way anymore, is it? That the Holy Spirit will reprove the world. The world? Everybody in the world? No. John 3:16 doesn't mean that. And neither does this. Christ said He has a people out of. The Scripture says God had the people out of the world. Out of every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue under heaven, the world. Not just Jews, but the people out of every tribe. He will reprove. He will, the Holy Spirit will teach. The Holy Spirit will convict people. Persons out of every nationality on earth, the world. All right? He will reprove them of sin. What does he reprove them about sin? How? Well, look at verse 9. It says, of sin, because they believe not on me. All right, the Lord is going to take each of these things and tell us what it is. The Holy Spirit will convict, will convince, will reprove of sin. Why? What's sin all about? Not believing. Unbelief. Tammy, in that that survey they did of sin, not one person said that. What is sin? Not one person said unbelief. If you'd ask anybody, any true believer, they'd tell you. It'd be the first thing out of their mouth. I remember my pastor telling a story about an old preacher years ago. I forget his name. But one of the old true preachers was sitting in his office one day studying. A man came in and was all torn up. Something had happened, you know, some trouble. And he began to pour out his heart to the preacher, began to tell him all manner of things, confessing his sins, which you're not supposed to do. You're not supposed to confess your sins to a man. He can't do anything about them. You're not supposed to confess your sins to me, to a man, or to a fellow behind a little screen. He's worse than you are. If he sits there and listens to them. Anyway, this old preacher, and this fella came in and said, I did this, I did that, I got drunk, I did this, I did that, you know, I cheated on my taxes, or whatever, just on and on he went, you know. Each time the fella said, I did this, the preacher said, is that all? He said, well, no, the other day I was, and he confessed something, and the preacher says, is that it? And kept going and naming all these bad things, and the preacher finally said, is that all? And the man was kind of shocked. He said, well, ain't that enough? He said, no. He said, you haven't confessed. You haven't spoken about the worst thing of all. Unbelief. What's that? What is that? What does that mean? You want to turn with me to Romans chapter 1? Romans chapter 1. Christ said sin, he'll convict of sin because they believe not on me. Who is he? He's God. Well, who is God? Well, he's our creator. He's our judge. Not our sugar daddy. God's not our sugar daddy. God's not an old white-haired granddaddy up there waiting, hoping you'll just every now and then say something to him, or just when you get in trouble, when I get in trouble, call on him. No, sir. Romans chapter 1, verse 19 says, when that which may be known of God is manifest in them, two people. God has showed it unto them. We wake up in the morning, we breathe air. It goes into our system, and it's a miraculous thing. It goes into lungs that are full of, I can't give you a complete medical explanation of it, but it's amazing. Without this invisible substance that is perfect to sustain these bodies of light, without it, we're dead. People asphyxiate. Just takes a second. Boom, we're dead. Get in the water, under the water, you can't get to. You're dead. You're deprived of it a while, you're in a coma. You're dead without this invisible, perfect substance called air. Where'd it come from? Well, plants. Photosynthesis. Nature. Mother nature. Well, evolution. God made it. and the world over is breathing in his air, cussing him with it. Mother Nature. As old preacher used to say, you better be glad I'm not God. Mother Nature. Read on. Verse 20. Invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Clearly seen. Absolutely clearly seen. This place, this planet is too complex, too marvelous, too amazing. We talked about this Wednesday night, didn't we? This place. Would believe something like that. I tell you who. One who doesn't like the thought of a God. And that's what Peter said. They're willingly ignorant. No, I don't believe God. I don't want there to be a God. I don't want a God that I answer to. I don't want that. I don't like that. I'll just believe what I want to believe. Keep breathing his air. Keep eating his food. It just comes out of the ground. Just comes out of the ground. Clothes that we wear just comes out of the ground. Ain't Mother Nature good to us? Water that we go without a water a little while, boy, it dries up our playhouse, doesn't it? Where does that come from? Out of the sky. Just falls out of the sky. And people, I don't believe there's a God, nor people that say they do. God ought to be glad I'm here Sunday morning. Oh, man. God ought to be glad. Well, let's recognize so-and-so for coming to worship God who gives him life, who gives him food and water and clothes him, and he's living and not in hell because God is merciful. Thank him for coming to church. Man. You see what an absolute rotten mess this world's in, huh? And it's all because of preachers standing up telling people how much God needs them. Oh, people. This is at the heart of sin. This is what I'm talking about, unbelief. People don't believe God is God. People don't believe God is God. People don't believe God is holy. In spite of he says it over and over again throughout the Word. Will by no means clear the guilty. Guilty of what? Not acknowledging God. Look at it. Down in verse 28. God, they didn't like to retain God in their knowledge. And they became filled with. You see, this is. Are you with me? This is what all this other stuff comes from. We're talking about sin. And people think, well, sin is. Well, homosexuality, sin is drunkenness. Sin, well, those are sins. But sin, the root of the matter, is within us. And it's unbelief, not knowing God. Read on. Verse 28 says, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness. Then he goes on to list all these things. After unbelief. You see, we come forth from the womb not giving God a thought. Right? Don't give God a thought. We have to drag our children here. Don't we? We have to drag our, well, if you're a real parent, you wouldn't drag them. They would sit there very quietly. Let me get out of that. But the fact is, as children, we don't want to come worship God. We're not interested in God. Young adults, oh man, why do I have to sit for 60 minutes and hear about God? I got things to do, places to go, people to see. Adults, why do I have to sit here for 60 minutes? It never changes, does it? Unless God sends His Holy Spirit through this right here, through the preaching of God's Word. Not me, I can't convince him. But through the preaching of the Word, and the first thing He convicts a human being is of, you've lived a lifetime without thinking about God. Why should He let you live another minute? Isaiah 1, God said, I brought up the children that have rebelled against me. I've fed them, I've clothed them, all this. I've stricken them, the judgments have come, and all of this. He said, the whole head is sick, the whole heart is faint, didn't it? Isaiah 1, read it for yourself. Sin is unbelief. Sin is not believing God. Sin is not believing Christ. Why did that man named Jesus, who lived here on this planet, the man named Jesus that lived on this planet years ago, 2,000 years ago, this book says he's God. Why? Why did he come here? What did he do? What's it all about? Why did he come here? He had to show us how to live. If we'll just live like him, then God will be happy with us. Look at the next thing in John chapter 16. Look at the next thing. John 16, if you're still with me. Some of you are, I can tell. Some of you aren't, I can tell that too. He says in John 16, when he is come, he will prove the world of sin and of righteousness. He says, sin, they don't believe on me. Verse 10, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of righteousness. What's that about? Righteousness. The Holy Spirit will convict of righteousness. First thing he does is convict of sin. That you haven't given God a thought. Of sin, indwelling sin. Everything about you is wrong. You see, when the Holy Spirit begins to convict somebody of sin, it doesn't just convict them of getting drunk or having an affair or anything like that. He convicts them that I'm a rotten human being. But the reason I did that, because I'm rotten. If you read Romans 7 for yourself, that's a sinner convicted by the Holy Spirit. Paul said this in Romans 7. He said, the things I would do, that I want to do, I do not. And he said, the things I don't want to do, that's exactly what I do. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this fella called me? But the reason my marriage failed, because I'm a failure. The reason I'm in this trouble is because I got myself in this trouble. Reason this, reason that, is because I'm the problem. That's where it begins. God convicts a person, I'm the problem. Not something else, not my circumstances, not my atmosphere. It's me. I've got it in me. So he convicts of unbelief of what we are. And God teaches. You know, everybody thinks if you be good, you go to heaven. Don't you? Most everybody. That's the reason people say, well, just quit this. And you know, some things need to be quit. But that's not going to make God happy with you. Well, if I just start doing this, if I can look a certain way or act a certain way or quit this, quit that. No, God looks on the heart. There's only one way to get to this God who is holy. God who is holy, the Scripture says in Exodus 30, who by no means clear the guilty. And he must be. People, God must be holy. God must be perfect. God can't allow sin. He must repent. Why? Well, look at the world. He allowed it to enter into this world according to his purpose. Look at it. It's a mess. But God's heaven, eternal life, eternity, no sin can enter in. It must be eradicated completely, totally. And for God to have anything to do with us, and for us to be in his eternity, we've got to be without sin. Are you with me? I mean 100% completely without sin. Who can? Not one. Scripture says there's none that doeth good according to God's standard. Because God looks on the heart. A fella does something good, he may have an evil motive behind it. Probably does. All these people handing out charity checks in the church, in the paper. Why do you think they have their picture in the paper handing out a big check to some charity? They want credit for it. That's positively evil in God's sight. Huh? God looks at the motive. Who can? None. Oh, no, wait a minute. Somebody did. As one human being lived on this planet, who was absolutely holy in thought, never thought an evil thought. Word, never spoke an evil word. Deed, from his youth, from a baby, till the day he died, thought about God 24 hours a day. Did everything he did for the glory of God and no self-glory. Did everything he did out of service and love to everybody else. Everything. Who are you talking about? Jesus. That man named Jesus. Why did he do that? Well, if you'll live like him, then God... No. It's too late. It's too late. Besides, we can't do it. I can't live like him. I try, but I can't. God looks on the heart. Why did he do that? Then, I'll tell you. And the scriptures is full of this. It's called imputed righteousness. Imputed righteousness. Let me illustrate it. Suppose my wife has a credit card. And she has my name on it. And she goes out there and incurs all sorts of debts. Thousands. 10, 20, 30, 40. $100,000, $1 million, $2 million, and she doesn't have a dime. All this debt keeps up, piling up. What's she going to do about it? Well, the law is going to come get her and say, pay up. I can't. I don't have a job. I don't have any money. Sorry. But she doesn't have to pay it. It's got my name on it. You understand? Scripture says God laid on him, Christ, the iniquity of his people. We sing that song, Jesus paid it all. All the debt I owe. The law says, you've broken me. God says, you haven't acknowledged me. Jesus Christ came to this earth and did. He did it all perfectly. Not to show us how, though he did show us how, but he did it chiefly, principally, to charge that to us. To give us that holiness, that perfect righteousness. And so thereby God looks at us and says, well, you have kept the law. Well, you are holy, aren't you? And the best way you can describe this is, and the scriptures talks about a robe of righteousness, a robe. Say, I'm naked. I'm naked. The scriptures uses that term, doesn't it? So we're naked before God. God sees everything for the light of his countenance.
We may look good to men, but not God. We're naked. God says we need a covering, cover our nakedness, our sin. Cover. Jesus Christ came down here for 33 years, lived a perfect, spotless, pristine life, like weaving a robe, and he took it off. He laid down his life. Scripture says, a body hast thou given me. A body of a human being to live a life glorifying to God. To work out a righteousness as a man. To live perfectly and glory to God and thanks to God for the glory of God. That's why God created man, for his glory. All sinned and come short of it. Even now, every believer is way short of it. Not Jesus Christ. He said, I've glorified you on earth. When he was 33 years old, life finished. I've done it every waking moment. God says, and I'm well pleased for his righteousness' sake. But he didn't do it for himself. He didn't do it to show us how to weave our own little robe. Oh, here, I'll patch this up. Look, I've gone to church all my life, God. Isaiah 64:6 says it's a filthy rag. God won't accept it. He looks on the heart. But Christ made this robe for naked people. For naked people. You ever been naked? Maybe you like to go naked. I don't know. I don't. Even when I'm alone in the house, I feel naked. I'm serious. Where'd that come from? Man was in the garden, created naked. He wasn't ashamed. Soon as he sinned, he felt naked. Why? We're before God. You ever been naked? Everybody in here have a dream that you run out in the street naked or something, surely. You ever had that dream? Oh, it's a horrible dream, isn't it? You run across the street stark naked. I dreamed one time I was preaching at Ashland. And my dad was there, everybody was there, and I got up and didn't have my pants on. I was horrified. I couldn't believe it. My dad had me in the back just dreaming. What do you mean? Don't ever do that again. Oh, Rick, that was the worst dream I've ever had in my life. Naked. And I'm not making light. Before God Almighty, God looks at this world and everybody in it says, no good. No good is no good. No, not one. That's what God says. Psalm 14, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there were any that did understand. Understand what? That God is God. Any that did seek after God. Well, God made me, so I think I ought to look after God. No, there's none. None, he said, none. They're altogether become unprofitable. That's why God's going to burn the planet up. None of them any good. Like an anthill. That's the fact. That's God's word. But for some, God by the Holy Spirit, for some, shows them, oh, I'm naked. I've lived a whole life without thinking about God. That the best thing I do is full of sin. What can I do? Christ says, here. Here. Cover him with his righteousness. And the Holy God looks at that sinner. He's covered. Why are you screaming, preacher? I don't know. Because people won't hear this. People are going to Romans 10, the whole chapter is written about people trying to establish their own righteousness. Their morality, their church going, their this, their that. I quit my drinking, aren't you happy? No, but your wife is, but I'm not. Without looking on your heart, you're proud of quitting that. You're proud of this, proud of that. Yeah, you ought to attribute everything you are and have done and haven't done for me. Huh? But you have it. And so that's what the naked sinner, a guilty sinner, a convicted sinner by God says, oh, what am I going to do? Woe is me, I'm undone. Who shall deliver me? God says, I've got a deliverer. He's called Jesus the Christ. He's called Jesus Christ the righteousness. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness. My beauty are my glorious dress. You sang it. You might not have known what you sang, but you sang it. How am I going to get to God someday? Only one way. Covered in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. How's that come? How do I get that? Faith. Just believe. Just believe. If you, Brother Henry, you're naked. I've got a robe here. How are you going to be covered? I've got a robe. I've got the only one that'll really cover you. Brother William Hodges is not here, but he likes the illustration about the hospital gown. Man, his goodness, everything he does is kind of like one of those hospital gowns. You ever worn one? You're not covered. You're not covered. You may look good up front, but you will reveal yourself, given time. That's man, all his goodness, all his religion, everything he does. It's like a hospital gown. He looks good up front. But I've got the only robe that'll really cover you. I mean, it'll really cover you, top and bottom. No pun intended. How you'll get it? You're going to have to ask me for it, aren't you? Say, Brother Paul, would you give me that robe? Well, I'd be delighted to. That's why I made it. But it's only to those that are naked. How do they know they're naked? God. The Holy Spirit. And I got to quit. He says, it's righteousness. Because I go to my Father. He went to the Father. How'd he get there? He was righteous. How am I going to get there? In his righteousness. The next line says of judgment. The Holy Spirit will convict, convince, reprove of judgment. Because the prince of this world is judged. Judgment. Nobody's talking about this anymore. Huh? Nobody's talking about this anymore. Judgment. God's judgment. Read it for yourself over in Revelation chapter 21. Read it for yourself. It talks about the judgment. People refuse to believe this, but it's true. And Christ came down here for judgment. To judge the prince of this world. Whom he gave it space, whom he gave space in this world for a little while. He's called the prince of the power of the air. He's called the ruler of the darkness of this world. Isn't it? The God of this world, Christ calls him. The God, small g, of this world. Whom he gave some dominion over some. And Christ came down here. In prophecy of the very beginning, Genesis 3, to step on his head. And to remove all power from him and put a chain about his neck. And to remove from his captivity his people, Christ's people that he chose. And they're now no longer under captivity. You say, well, I feel like I'm... Oh, no. Oh, no. God, you see, we're still sinners, and we're still plagued by sin. All believers. Still plagued by it. Why? Why aren't we completely free from sin? Why didn't God take away sin from it? You wouldn't be interested in this message, would you? It'd be an empty church house.
Because I've been talking about sin. If there are no sinners, if we were no longer sinners, Brother Gabe, mercy wouldn't mean a thing to us, would it? Grace wouldn't mean a thing to us, would it?
The blood of Christ.
You want to know what God thinks about sin? Look at Calvary. What God did to His, God did that to His Son, who had sin of His people on us. Well, know what God will do with sin. Look at Calvary. Put it on display, naked, expose it, and then kill it, punish it forever. And judgment, our Lord said, when He convinces of judgment, He'll convince you, the believer, that the only way you're going to miss the judgment, the only way you're going to get out of being judged, is if Christ was judged for you. The only way you're out from under the captivity of that one is if somebody else fights stronger than he. Brother Kelly, we're goners. If we're not, if we don't belong to Christ, we're a goner, aren't we? You and me. I'll be first and you'll be right behind me. Yes, sir. We'll hit the road. I'm going to join the rodeo, buddy. If there's no truth to this, I will. I'll hit the road. I always wanted to be a cowboy. But if I belong to Christ, I'm not going anywhere. That's good news, isn't it? Judgment. See, these things, it's not in my hands. I'm so glad. So glad. Oh, I'm so glad. He'll convince you of that. Salvation is in His hand. All right. I told you everything I know. I know the young people are saying that. Yeah, we wish you'd have stopped. But it's too serious. Let's sing 474. 474. Maybe this song will really mean something to somebody. 474. Let's stand as we sing. A couple of verses. 474. Okay. When you're ready, Sharon.
Naught have I gotten but what I received. Grace hath bestowed it since I was born. Boasting excluded, pride I'm abased. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. Only a sinner saved by grace. Only a sinner saved. Suffer a sinner whose heart overflows. Need a Savior to tell what he knows. Once more to tell it.